Welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to all of you. I am Sean Pendergast. To my right is Rich Lord.
Sean, how are you? How was your weekend?
I'm doing a great weekend, Rich. We are the triple threat. BMAC behind the glass in there. I'm good. Other than the outcome of the Texans game, which I didn't let ruin my weekend. You know, at the end of the day.
Nobody should.
At the end of the day, enough things happened around them in the AFC to where it wasn't a catastrophe yesterday, but it was an opportunity missed, to be sure.
Exactly. It's a good time for a short week. And as you mentioned, they'll be able to flush this one behind them sooner than usual as they'll play on Saturday against the Jets in New York. But what a week 14 in the NFL. And the Texans are going to obviously occupy most of our conversation here on a Texans Monday, the Bill O'Brien Show at 5. We'll hear from Coach O'Brien here in the 2 o'clock hour. It's Texans-centric, as it always is, the day after a game. But my goodness, I'll say it again. What a week 14 in the NFL.
Yeah, it was crazy. We'll get into some of the things that went on around the league. We know the Patriots lost in just a crazy, miraculous fashion. The Chiefs were pushed to the brink. Ultimately, I think Patrick Mahomes probably cemented his front-runner status as the MVP of the league. The Steelers lost. A lot of weird things going on, but we'll certainly start with the Texans. The streak over, and I think, to me, Rich, the biggest themes walking away from the game yesterday didn't have as much to do with the immediate effects of that game. The Texans are still in a two-game lead in the AFC South. They're 9-4. The Colts and the Titans are 7-6. The Texans are going to win this division, and in all likelihood, probably going to be a 3 seed, but they've still got some math that could work in their favor if some teams take care of things, and certainly they have to take care of their business the rest of the way. They are without mulligans now if they're trying to get a bye in the first round of the postseason, but in all likelihood, even at 12-4, they're probably going to be the 3 seed in the AFC. To me, the biggest takeaway from the game yesterday is I was disheartened at the way that they went against a marquee quarterback, the first marquee quarterback that they faced since, well, Andrew Luck, the first time they played Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck goes for almost 400 yards. There was no secret as to what they do either against the Texans. They bombed downfield with T.Y. Hilton. He gets 9 catches for $199. Two gigantic game-changing plays, the 60-yard catch that put them in position to get their first touchdown, and then the 34-yard catch after J.J. Watt had a sack on the previous play to finally make it second and long for the Colts. It felt like they were in second and two the entire afternoon. 34-yard pass to T.Y. Hilton, next play Pascal's in the end zone. So there were a lot of forks in the road where the Texans could have maybe pulled off something undeserved. I think the better team won, the more deserving team won yesterday. And now the Texans sit at 9-4 and back at it on Saturday against the Jets.
And there's a lot of, and I get it, a lot of discussion of what might have been had Jadeveon Clowney not been drawn offsides by Andrew Luck late in that game yesterday. And it's a good what might have been. There's no doubt about that, because who knows, even without the timeouts, you know, what number four in the offense might have been capable of with a little under 2 minutes to go. But we'll never know. And unfortunately, it's a mistake that's, I don't want to go too strong here. Is emblematic too strong? I mean, it's the kind of mistake that when it happened, I didn't even have to look to see who it was. I knew it was J.D. Clowney. And again, John, I don't want to get too obsessed with that one play, but it was their final opportunity to, I think, what'd you say, the undeservedly? I think that's a great word for the situation, because they didn't deserve to win that game.
Right.
But they might have had an opportunity at the very end to do so. So it sort of adds a little insult to injury at the very end of a game that was likely going to have the same outcome it eventually did. But it's another something, a little tidbit to chew on following the game. And he is getting roasted pretty good, I think.
I do think the whole experience, Rich, from that juncture in the game all the way through the post game, because Clowney did not stop to talk to the media about it either.
I was just going
to
mention
was out the back door. So I
that doesn't do him any good.
I do think it's somewhat emblematic of Clowney's somewhat star-crossed time here in Houston.
It's a good way to put it.
You know, like J.J. Watt has unconditional love. I think Whitney Merciless, for who he is and what he's getting paid by this team, has unconditional love. I think Tyrann Mathieu, in the short time that he's been a Texan, has unconditional love. The love for Clowney, certainly with the fan base, certainly amongst the media, maybe even with people in that building, who knows, feels like there are a lot of conditions attached to it. And jumping off sides is one of them. And I heard a great stat on In the Loop today that I will give them credit for. The players that Clowney has mentioned alongside most often, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, there was one other player that they threw into the mix. Three guys They have 8 combined penalties this year. Marquee guys that Clowney is often mentioned alongside. Clowney has 9.
Yeah.
He's got more than those 3 guys combined. And that's the thing, Rich. There's never a good time to jump off sides.
No, there's never a good time.
And that was the worst time.
Worst possible time. And look, Clowney jumping off sides yesterday is not going to change my opinion on the contract that I think they should extend him. But it is going to be interesting this offseason, how they approach the future of J.D. Clowney with this franchise. But again, even bringing that up feels like too much emphasis on one snap in a game where another 50-something or 60-something actually determined the outcome of that game. And Sean, you said that they are the 3 seed right now, and because of what happened around them in the AFC over the weekend, like you said, it feels like that's probably going to wind up being their fate after these final 3 games as the 3 seed. If the playoffs began now, it would be the Ravens at NRG Stadium, but there are a few other teams that the Ravens are only ahead of right now because of tiebreakers that are very much in the mix to be that team that comes here, and we should obviously cover that today.
Yeah, we can stack rank those teams at some point. I just know that the team of all that mix, Rich, that I want to see the least was the team they played yesterday at NRG Stadium. I want nothing to do with the Colts.
I'd go along
again
with that
this season. Compared to the Dolphins and the Ravens and the Titans, there's no question I don't want to see Andrew Luck anytime.
Well, of those teams you just mentioned, you know, you take a look at all the closing schedules, you take a look at the teams themselves, and I think not only does Miami arguably have the softest closing schedule, but they are arguably the team you'd most want to see here at NRG Stadium. It's certainly worth a debate.
Maybe. But as far as how that game was won and lost yesterday, we've talked about the Clowney thing. Clowney's not the reason they lost the game. His play was a reason they didn't get a chance to maybe go in and tie the game at the end of the game. The reason they lost the game, Rich, to me, this game was lost in the first half. And it was lost to me in the first quarter, actually, when the defense was able to get off the field 4 straight times to start the game. 4 3 and outs. 2 of them were unforced errors, actually. A drop by Eric Ebron on the first series of downs. A bobble by the backup tight end, Swope, on a 3rd and short. They got off the field on 4 straight 3rd downs. The defense did, and 3 of them were 3rd and 4 or shorter. Those are the type of things that this Texans team, throughout the 9-game winning streak, they've been able to take advantage of those types of things. To me, that was a big thing. Their inability to take advantage of the Colts' mistakes early on. And then the down and distance situations that they found themselves in throughout the first half are untenable for a team that doesn't have Will Fuller, for a team that loses its slot receiver late in the first quarter, I think it was, or maybe early in the second quarter when DeAndre Carter goes out. Now all of a sudden you're running around with Joe Webb at slot receiver. 7 of 9, they had 9 second downs in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
On 7 of those 9 second downs, they had double digit yardage to go for a first down. So they were 2nd and 10, 2nd and 13. Lamar Miller in the first half, 5 carries, -8 yards on first down. So every time you hand the ball to Lamar Miller, it seemed like in the first half, you were winding up in 2nd and 12 or 2nd and 13. O'Brien said it point blank in the post game, we did not play well offensively.
It's always going to be the quarterback, the head coach. Like, I totally understand that, but it just wasn't very good as an offense. We were never able to get into a rhythm. Our first down offense was terrible. I mean, it was awful. We lost yards on first down, I mean, probably between 8 to 10 times today. I mean, it was awful. You losing 2, you're 2nd and 12. We lost 4 one time. We ran an outside zone, lost 4 yards. We're 2nd and 14. So, you know, when those things happen, you know, it's really just the whole unit starting, you know, with me and making sure that I do a better job this week with them.
Coach, I got the numbers for you. You were in 2nd down 22 yeah. times in the game. They were in 2nd down 22 times, 11 of those 22. Half of those times, they were in 2nd and 10 or longer.
Sean, I know it's an intangible that's almost impossible to track accurately, but as you watched that game yesterday, and I don't always subscribe to this theory, but I like to talk about it a lot because it seems like it really applies pretty often, especially in the NFL. One team was on life support as far as their chances to win the division and to continue furthering their playoff hopes as well. The other was on a 9-game winning streak, comfortably atop their division with a multiple game lead, and the effort and energy on the field reflected that. There were some things the Texans did okay, like stop the run, but I thought that their inability to slow down Andrew Luck in that passing game on the other side of the football was almost inexplicable when you looked at how often the Colts were keeping extra players near the line of scrimmage to give Luck the time. They had a numbers mismatch more often than not in the secondary, and yet those three or four targets that Andrew Luck kept sending into that five or six man secondary kept finding open spaces. And, you know, they, again, it's somewhat inexplicable. And look, I think if you look at the effort of the offensive line yesterday, there's a case to be made that even though they've managed their way through this to a comfortable lead atop the division, we always knew there were issues, but yesterday it felt like there were energy and effort issues on the O-line as well. They just weren't the sharper team yesterday. And that's why I'm not panicking at all after yesterday's loss. And I know you're not either, but, you know, I think there might be some other people on this station that are closer to a degree of panic than I am, and maybe more towards some of the fans who obviously didn't like what they saw yesterday. But my overriding thought after yesterday's game was live to fight another day. Good luck next week. I mean, put this one behind you as soon as possible, because I think they're better than what they showed yesterday. They just didn't have that extra little oomph yesterday.
Yeah, Rich, look, there's no way to back up or support your theory on the energy thing or the more desperate team winning. Honestly, I just feel like this is a bad matchup for the Texans defensively. If this is one of those teams, if Andrew Luck is back to what he was, and he appears to be, this is one of those teams that if they keep an extra guy in to negate that pass rush and you don't get to Andrew Luck, the Texans just aren't athletic enough and fast enough on the back end to be able to keep up with a guy like T.Y. Hilton. And for whatever reason, the secondary receivers for the Colts play pretty damn well too. And oh, by the way, they have a tight end who's had a pretty good season as well. I didn't think there were effort issues with the Texans. I just think the Colts executed at a higher level. The Texans' pass defense is very, very dependent on either A, going against a quarterback who's a below-average quarterback, which pretty much every quarterback other than Andrew Luck during that nine-game winning streak was, and it's dependent on J.J. Watt, Clowney, Merciless, Covington, those guys getting at the quarterback.
I think they, you know, we'll agree to disagree, because I think they were missing a little extra juice, if you want to call it that, in yesterday's game. And the success of Andrew Luck in that passing offense against this team, the fact that that might be a bad matchup for this team can only lead to, you know, questions. And I know this has come up on other shows today and in the discussion following this game. Aaron Colvin didn't play a single snap in the secondary?
We'll talk about that.
I mean, this is a guy, this was your big ticket free agent acquisition of the offseason that you guaranteed $18 million dollars. Now, if he's not healthy, I get it. And I know he's still recovering from an injury. But if he's not healthy, you know, then he wouldn't be out there on special teams. He wouldn't be suiting up if he's not healthy.
No, it's that appears to be a miss so far. We'll talk that's a topic that has...
That's remarkable to me that Sharice Wright is out there and not Aaron Colvin in situations like yesterday.
I got no, Rich, that's a topic that has more legs in the 5 seconds that we've got right now.
No doubt.
We'll hit that
no
later
doubt.
In the show.